Gospel reading today is from Matthew in the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means last among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so I also may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. In our hearing, our speaking, our living, may God's word. What is it about the Magi that captures our attention? Matthew gives us this story, but if you look closely, really doesn't fill in many of the details. There's not that much said about these wise ones. It's 12 verses in all. We have filled in more of the picture over the years, haven't we, over the centuries? There are legends and carols that have risen about them. Somewhere along the line, it was decided there must have been three of them. They were given names and much more. We see them in paintings. They capture our imagination. There's still much we don't know. Where exactly did they come from? Why those particular gifts and not others, as the Christmas card jokes, why not diapers and formula and things practical? How big was this star? What did the Magi eat? Perhaps really the most intriguing question to me is, where did they find the spiritual strength to say no to Herod? Herod, you recall, was very threatened by any challenges to his power, and especially predictions of another ruler who would rise up and take control. So he wants accurate information and sends the wise ones to get that and to come back. And indeed, Matthew goes on to tell us that Herod later orders the slaughter of young children in an attempt to get rid of the threat. A story that has haunting parallels to Syria this day, among other places. How did it unfold that the wise ones knew not to trust Herod, but to go home by another road? What guided them on that unfamiliar route? Matthew tells us simply they had a dream from God. That leaves me with more questions. What was that like? Did they all have exactly the same dream? Did they see the same thing, hear the same voice? How do we listen for the dream of God? It seems like a good New Year's Day kind of question. the challenges ahead. How do we stay so grounded that we can be guided by that dream? Every now and then someone will alert me to an especially good essay or talk. And a couple of weeks ago, Megan, our oldest daughter, sent a link to a wonderful TED Talk by a woman named Elizabeth Lesser. The title of her talk is Say Your Truths and Seek Them in Others. It's not a very good title. There's a whole lot more to her talk than that. She begins by talking about her very first professional job. She was an home birth midwife. She says that she learned many helpful lessons at that job, like how to start a car at 2 a.m. in 10 degree below weather, and how to revive a new father who faints at the sight of blood. There were three things in particular that stuck with her and have served her well, especially through some very, very difficult times in her own life. The first of those things is that each of us comes into the world with a unique worth. Every time she looked in the face of a newborn, she caught a glimpse of that worth, that spark that she called soul. Each one as unique as a snowflake. As we age, she says, we learn to cover up our souls. We learn to conform, to fit in, to adapt, to accommodate. She says we develop ADD, authenticity deficit disorder. And the babies taught her over and over again, uncover your soul and look for that soul spark in everyone else. The great theologian Howard Thurman once spoke at a college graduation, and in that speech, he told students, there's something in every one of you that waits and listens for the sound of the genuine in yourself. He said, the sound of the genuine is the only true guide you will ever have. And if you cannot hear it, you will all of your life spend your days on the ends of strings that someone else pulls. Uncover your soul, Lesser urges. Learn to be genuine, authentic, real. And I would add that if we listen for and are guided by what Thurman called the sound of the genuine, we are in fact listening for and hearing that dream of God. The second lesson is something Lesser learned from the laboring women. The importance of staying open even when things are painful. The more the pain of childbirth is resisted, the worse it gets. But when one opens to it, she says, it's as if the universe takes notice and sends a wave of help. Stay curious, she says. Ask the pain what it has come to deliver, what is waiting to be born. Over the years, I've seen this over and over. It doesn't necessarily mean giving in to cancer or giving up on treatments or giving up in any situation. But when people can move into the pain in a way that searches for and expects something good to rise up from it, it does. And the pain has less control over them. I've been privileged to witness people facing terrible trials who yet inspire me by facing the pain squarely and with great determination to learn something from it, to be able to offer something to others, to discover a new grace in the midst of it and grow in some way. Even in the hardest situations, there is always something waiting to be born. The third lesson that Elizabeth Lesser shares comes from Albert Einstein, who said that our normal hamster wheel kind of day-to-day life, where we keep moving faster and working harder, is something of an illusion. Underneath surface time, he said, is another dimension where past and present and future merge to become what Lesser calls deep time. Einstein called sacred awe. It is time just spent being. Time where we experience that sense of awe. As Lesser delivered babies, she said often there were hours upon hours with nothing to do but sit and wait with the family. Often, she said, those were times of such sacred awe, deep time. We've all experienced that. Christmas Eve is a deep time for me, as is a quiet walk on the beach, sitting with someone you love and watching a sunset, being swept away by a beautiful piece of music, being present at the moment of someone's death can be a time of sacred awe. And so, of course, is the moment of birth. There are countless ways to enter that kind of time. These three lessons, uncovering your soul, staying open during difficult or painful experiences, and stepping off the hamster wheel into deep time, strike me as helpful advice for this year. I hear her pearls of wisdom as gifts, not unlike the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. No matter what any of us may face in the coming year, no matter what the days or weeks or months might bring us, there are going to be challenges. We know that. There'll be personal difficulties, work issues, family crises, and of course, changes all around us in our community and in our nation and beyond. There'll be joys as well, wonderful surprises and welcome changes, moments of delight. How will we stay in tune with God's dream in the days ahead? I think Lesser's practices can help us to stay grounded, to be ready at all times to receive that dream of God. So I don't know what the Magi ate on their journey. I don't know just how they were able to receive that dream, or what made them trust the dream instead of trusting Herod. But I know that like them, we are following a light that shines even in the darkness. I know that there are still Herods who would destroy life and create fear and chaos just to be more powerful. I know we long for Christ to be made more fully known in our lives and our world. And I know that like the wise ones, we all need bread for the journey. Real food, but also the spiritual nourishment that keeps us on the path. So what feeds you on your journey? What gives you strength of soul and clarity of direction? I am fed by prayer and silence, by friendships and family, by being here with all of you Sunday after Sunday. For this year, I'm going to try and carry with me the lessons of a wise midwife who hopefully will remind me along the way to be authentic, even when that means being vulnerable, to stay open in times of pain to discover what gifts might be hidden there, and to enter deep times of sacred awe early and often. Whatever feeds you on your journey, claim it in the days to come. God has a dream for us still, for all of life. We are all part of that dream. Amen.